Hey, this is Preston.
Hi, this is Yun.
And this is episode 3 of Asian Affairs.
Today we wanted to discuss the anti-Asian racist incident involving an Audi R8. So basically what happened was a couple of days ago in San Mateo, California, an Asian man was harassed out of nowhere for driving a very expensive car by a white man who started throwing racial slurs and homophobic insults to him and eventually escalated by kicking his car. So naturally, a fight ensued and another white man ended up jumping in white solidarity to tackle and quote-unquote defend the original instigator. What did you think about that, Preston?
To me, this is insane. So at first glance, it seems like your typical anti-Asian racism. Not saying that it's good that it's typical. It's actually horrible that it's typical. But it's just like, oh, another Asian man getting ganged up on. What's new, right? But
yeah.
The more and more you analyze the video, the more and more you realize how crazy this whole situation is and how many layers, different things that we talk about when it comes to the Asian diaspora. All of those come in this culmination in this altercation, and it's just like mind-blowing to me.
Yeah, what I noticed off the bat was that no other Asian guy was helping him. And there were there was like 2 to 3 other guys just standing around. Even the guy who was the passenger in his car didn't even try to help. He was just literally standing there like a fool.
On the other hand, you have this random white dude, the guy in the blue shirt, comes in, tackles him, which is fucking dangerous, and they don't even know each other. They don't know each other. They're just two random white guys. But, you know, he decides to jump in while all these other Asian dudes are just standing watching their brother get attacked. It's like, what's going on here?
Yeah, he wasn't even a part of it. And then and after that white man in the blue shirt just like flies and tackles and starts hitting the Asian man, he is obviously eventually pulled back by some people, and then he starts to try and so-called mediate, and he would defend himself by saying that he didn't even hit the Asian man and that the Asian man is hitting a guy and it's not worth it. I mean, the most baffling thing is that after he clearly attacked the Asian man, he denies it.
He tries to white-splain it. White-splaining.
Yeah.
Hey, bro, it's not worth it. It's not worth it. It's like, are you serious? You just tackled him into pavement.
And that's worth it? I mean, one person is defending his property and his dignity. And another person is just straight up throwing around his toxic white masculinity.
You know what this reminds me of? I played hockey when I was growing up. And if two people got in a fight, you know, that's whatever. They would, you know, if you're in the amateur level, you just get kicked out of the game, right? But there was this rule called the third man in rule. So if it was like red versus blue, two guys fighting each other, and the third man came in to get in there, he would automatically get kicked out as well. There's like, it's just this rule. And this is what this situation reminds me of, except he doesn't realize that he's an antagonist as well. This white guy in a blue shirt. All he's thinking, oh, I'm just here to be the peace, white-splaining. Doesn't even realize.
Well, I mean, that also like plays into how white media always portrays like the average white guy as the hero, right? So it's not a surprise that he would see himself that way.
Yeah, he's like, oh, I'm G.I. Joe.
What was so baffling is that another detail was the original instigator. He was actually holding his daughter's hand while kicking somebody else's property and while throwing homophobic insults and racial insults.
Yeah, and he was even cursing, like, right in front of his daughter. And
right.
So, Non Lin actually Nexshark reached out to Nanlin, and Nanlin gave his account. You can read it on Nexshark. And Nanlin was actually addressing this very issue with this white guy who is the antagonist. He was like, are you really going to do this in front of your daughter? You're setting a really bad example.
Yeah, and so what type of example is he setting for his child? And not to mention, his child is actually half Asian. And so his wife is actually kind of condoning this behavior by being in a relationship with someone who's clearly a racist and a homophobic racist too. And he's setting that example for his half Asian daughter, who will grow up thinking that that is normal behavior and that that's okay to treat men, Asian men, like this. So that's so frustrating, because there's this whole dynamic of white men with Asian women relationships, and these Asian women have full agency to say, no, I'm not going to allow this in my life. No, it's not okay for you to act like that. You're either going to change or get out of my life. And clearly that's not what's happening here. These women are condoning this behavior. I refuse to believe that that's the first time that this grown man with his full white privilege in America has exercised that white male dominance.
Yeah. He was definitely trying to exert that dominance. And then what's even crazier is that not only the first white guy was with an Asian wife, the blue shirt white guy had an Asian wife. When we figured that out, that was just like, holy crap.
That's so disappointing, because it's not like Asian women are stupid, right? It's not like we can't tell when racism is happening. And if you're turning a blind eye to that, then you're just complicit. You're part of it. You're condoning it. By nature, you're allowing that to be in your life. You can't just turn a blind eye to homophobia and racism and then claim that your politics are so-called different.
Yeah, just think about, these are two individual instances of white men with Asian wives, right? With their children right in front of them. Think about how this happens on aggregate. It's really horrifying to think about all the endorsing of stereotypes, homophobia, racism, all these things. Just think about that on aggregate, and it's just crazy.
Asian women, we need to be so careful with who we date, who we allow to enter our lives. You only have one life. It is so precious. And you're going to waste it on these type of people, on these type of homophobic, racist people. When they're racist towards Asian men, they're racist towards you, period. Emasculation is extremely tied into hypersexualization and fetishization and objectification and toxic masculinity in how white men perceive us. So there's really no excuse for that.
Did you notice there was the one wife was yelling, stop. She was like shrieking, stop, stop, all that. Did you notice that?
Yeah, I did.
It's like she could have maybe pulled her husband back. She could have done something. But instead, she was just shrieking from the background, crying. Come on, that's your responsibility. You decided to marry this person. His actions, the father of your children, that's your responsibility now. And all they did was scream and yell, stop.
Let's say that she doesn't even know, right? Let's say that this was the first eye-opening, blatant experience that she leads her to discover who her husband really is. Okay, so after this incident, what's his consequence? I mean, that's something that she is going to have to decide for herself. Either that, or she accepts it and she's complicit in racism.
This isn't an isolated incident. There is a history of anti-Asian violence, especially against Asian men, dating back all the way to the 1800s. when the first Chinese people were coming to America to help build the railroads. You know, for example, there was a mass lynching in California in the late 1800s. Anti-Asian violence is not a new thing. Obviously, a lot of it has been forgotten because of history and the fact that you don't really learn this in school. American history is white. American history does not include Asians. So we don't learn about this kind of thing. But the truth is, this is not an isolated incident. There's a history to it. And the most recent examples that I could think of are Vincent Chin, where he was a Chinese American man, was ganged up by three white men due to economic anxiety. Sidney Chan, which happened in London, where a white man attacked this British rugby player, Sidney Chan, and that resulted in altercation. You have Jared Haw, which was in University of Washington, where again, an Asian man was attacked by white people in solidarity. And then you have now Nan Lin, who has been attacked again in solidarity with two white people.
There is this pattern of Chinese especially being attacked because of economic anxiety, right? And even though Vincent Chin was mistaken for being Japanese, as if they could tell us apart, this pervasive economic anxiety is getting worse and worse, especially with the FBI claiming that all Chinese students are foreign adversaries, spies for China and all of that. So there's this pattern of economic anxiety and then emasculation in Nan Lin's particular case, emasculation through homophobia. In Sidney Chan's case, emasculation because the white man was trying to dominate and actually sexually assaulted one of his female friends.
And yeah, then so what happened in that situation specifically was that the antagonist, the instigator in the Sidney Chan altercation, originally Sidney Chan was just trying to, you know, leave the scene. He didn't want, it was not worth it. You can read the interview. They thought it wasn't worth it. But he, like you said, he grabbed and tried to sexually assault one of Sidney Chan's woman friends. And that's when Sidney Chan stepped in to defend her.
Exactly. So because that white man had been harassing Sidney Chan's group of friends the entire night, it's clear that this last resort, even following them out of the bar, it's clear that this last resort was trying to show his dominance as a man. It's like, oh, I'm taking away your women, which is very sexist and racist. You know, it's all tied in together.
It's not like Asian guys are walking out on the street looking for a fight. We just want to live peacefully, and we just want to have our own lives, our own peaceful lives. But it's pretty apparent based on this pattern that white men don't want this to happen. They don't like it for us to prosper. So they use violence to keep us in our place. And again, there's a history of anti-Asian violence dating back from the 1800s.
Yeah, and it's not even to prosper. It's just to live your day-to-day life. I've had several instances where my guy friends would get into fights because of this similar things happening, where a white man just takes things way too far. And of course, they're going to have the consequences for that. And I completely don't blame my friends because there's only so much that they can take before they're being stepped all over. Anti-Asian racism, it's kind of okay because people just keep saying, oh, let's be the bigger person, be the bigger person. We're already so oppressed, we don't have the luxury to be the bigger person. We have to show them that no, this is not okay. When you do these type of things, you will have consequences. When we walk away, there is zero consequence.
It starts with things as small as microaggressions.
Mm-hmm.
And let's say, for example, you're endorsing negative stereotypes of yourself. That's how it starts. That's how it escalates further and further until, you know, the white man is basically testing as far as he can go, and violence is probably the ultimate escalation in terms of anti-Asian racism. So it's really important that in our day-to-day lives, we don't endorse, we don't allow racism to happen to us, even if it's quote-unquote small.
Right, and so that ties back into those three Asian guys who just stood around. They should have been helping. Instead of telling him, it's not worth it, it's not worth it. Clearly, there is a reason to think that it is worth it. It's not like he's escalating it out of nowhere. He was being provoked and attacked first. He was just defending himself when another stranger comes in and joins. So there's really no reason for the other Asian guys not to help him. They should have. And for the Asian women too, they should have not condoned it. Just shrieking, stop, stop, stop. Your husband's not listening to you anyway. Mm-hmm. You can't tell me that you have full agency when your husband just ignores you completely, especially in tense situations like this. So we have to, as Asian women, we have to dish out consequences. Being racist is not okay. Having a racist partner is not okay. It is your job to educate them if you are going to be in a relationship with someone who has privilege. And if not, then you should leave. Because why spend your life with a racist?
Yes, definitely. And then on the man's side, Nanlin is built. It's pretty obvious that he lifts. He's successful. He drives an Audi R8. Yet these two white guys think they can just walk over Nanlin, someone who is doing great for himself. So for us, it can come out of nowhere. We have a target on our back, and it's important that not only are you taking care of yourself physically, but you're also learning how to defend yourself, because you don't know when someone might strike, and we always have to be aware so that we don't end up hospitalized or anything like that. Nanlin was lucky. When he got tackled, that is very dangerous. He could have gotten seriously hurt. Possibly brain damage. He was very lucky, and I think partially due to his body makeup, he was able to get back up and stay fighting. So definitely something to keep aware of as we move forward as Asian men.
So that concludes today's episode of Asian Affairs.
You can follow us on Twitter at PrestonWong888
and XXYUNZ.
Asian Affairs releases episodes every Tuesday and Thursday.
For more pro-Asian content, be sure to check out Not Your Asian Sidekick and Journey to the West on YouTube, as well as our website ProAsian888 with the link in our profile.
This is Preston.
This is Yun.
And see you next time on Asian Affairs.